people who can write code can really change the way all of us live.
The power of Java is really helping people.
Getting people to do what they need to do in an easier way. That's what technology is all about, and Java makes it easier.
With Java, I feel it's just more fun to program. You can really focus on coding and less about the semantics of programming.
Both for the developer and both for the user, it's very easy.
A lot of transparency in Java. I can crack open the code if I feel like being a techno geeko and play around.
I'm just amazed at where Java has come in 10 years.
I don't know how we could exist without such a great community of developers.
It's just changing the way people do software, because now you think about sharing your work with other people.
Java is fundamentally about giving people leverage for their code to work on many, many, many machines widely, universally, you know, across the world.
The power of Java has really been freedom in the ability for people to write code that runs in so many different situations and so many environments. It's just changed the way that people even think about writing software.
In 10 years, what Java gives us will be part of the infrastructure. People won't see it, people won't think about it.
Massive, large systems are now fitting into the palms of our hands. And so going forward, more and more power is going to be going into the hands of more and more people.
The more portability and compatibility we have, that's the future of Java.
The real power of Java is connecting. You get people connected, good things happen.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Jonathan Schwartz.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to what I consider actually to be one of the most momentous changes on the landscape, not only for Sun, but for the entire internet community. And I'd not only like to welcome those of you in the room, I'd like to welcome you, those on the web who are joining us this morning. This is a really fundamental change, in my view, to not only the fate of Sun, but the fate of so many folks that are looking to the network as a source of value, as a source of opportunity, as a source of change, and ultimately a source of progress. Now, I think over the past 10 years especially, but certainly over the past few decades, there's been an almost constant discussion about something called a network effect. And the whole idea behind a network effect for us really comes down to a very simple statement, which is the more people that are joining a community, the more people that are joining the network, the more valuable that network becomes. And we've seen that with fax machines, we've seen that with cell phones, we've certainly seen that with internet connectivity. And that's fundamentally an expression not only of the opportunity that all of us as commercial entities see in the marketplace, it's also a reflection of the benefit that society gets out of having a network that connects everybody across the world. But fundamentally, at Sun, you know, we're here, we're a for-profit business, we're interested in creating new market opportunity for ourselves, for developers, and for partners. And I don't think it's, you know, been, certainly it hasn't been the most popular business plan for the past at least 5 years for us to say, the volume on the internet is ultimately good for our business. And yet, last quarter, we announced some pretty staggering changes. And fundamentally, what we announced was that the beginning of this business model was beginning to come true. It was beginning to evince itself as not only a source of technology opportunity, but it was beginning to evince itself as a source of financial opportunity. And when we talk about volume driving value, what we're talking about is more folks joining the network, more developers joining the community, more devices joining the network, more businesses joining the network. And some of these numbers on the left are staggering. And I'll give you a few examples in a moment, but 6 million plus Solaris licenses since opening up Solaris to the community. 4 billion devices over the past decade now running Java, and that's a number I want to come back and talk to you about. 5 million plus Java developers in all corners of the world, everywhere you can imagine, from high schools to the most advanced high-performance computing facilities around the world. And the net result of all of these folks joining the network, of all these developers and technologists coming to contribute their devices and their services, for Sun has been a remarkable resurgence in our business. We've grown. by double digits across each of the four businesses that we're in, the software business, the systems business, the storage business, and the services business. While, by the way, our gross margins, which are fundamentally the best measure of how much value we deliver into the marketplace, while those gross margins have been expanding. And so the entirety of our business model is predicated upon this very simple network effect. As we bring more people into the community on the left, even if they're not using Sun's technology, and even if they're not paying Sun, as we bring more of them online, that drives a greater opportunity for Sun. It also happens to drive a greater opportunity for others in the marketplace. There's a rising tide, and it lifts all the boats that are floating on that ocean of opportunity. So in talking to the Wall Street Journal last week, I was trying to describe to them why, in my view, what we're announcing today is one of the most momentous, significant changes in the landscape of the internet, and will be seen 5 years from now as one of the most fundamental shifts in the ultimate destiny for where we're all headed. And I tried to put that in context, and the reporter I was talking to is clearly someone who looks at a PC all day long, and given the number of laptops I see in the marketplace, we're very much oriented that way in North America. But think about the following. The Java platform today outships the Solaris platform, the GNU Linux platform, Microsoft Windows, the Mac, Symbian, TiVo boxes, you name it, the Java platform outships them all combined. We're talking about billions and billions and billions of users, billions of devices, billions of individuals, to the point where if you think about the freeing of the Java platform, bringing Java into the open source community, we're not just talking about giving folks a new technology or a new opportunity on the PCs they're touching today. We're talking about fundamentally changing the ultimate destiny of how people see the network across the world. Think about the following point. More people in the world will experience the internet on a mobile phone than on a PC. And in North America, that just doesn't make any sense to most of us, because we've had high-end PCs for so long. We're just accustomed to looking at the network through them. But more people in the world will experience the network through a Java-enabled phone than any other device in the world. And so the question for Sun is, now that we're on, you know, nearly 8 out of every 10 phones that are shipped in the world, most of the desktops that are shipped in the world, most of the servers, most of the network services are built atop Java, the question for us is a fairly basic one. How do we get to the next 4 billion? How do we continue to create opportunity out in the marketplace? And that, to me, I think, is a fundamental question. Because, again, we're doing this for a couple reasons. One, it will drive more community. And community is at the center of everything that we're doing. It's not okay to ship an esoteric piece of technology and hope to make money off of it. That's not our strategy. Our strategy is to drive the network effect, to drive the community, to drive volume in the marketplace, so that we, along with our partners and, frankly, some of our competitors, can also go drive value in the marketplace. So to discuss how, in fact, we're going to go get to that next 4 billion devices, I'd like to introduce Rich Green, Executive Vice President of Software.
Well, good morning, all. Certainly a most momentous day, and thank you very much, Jonathan. You know, when you look at the core of what is happening today, this is really all about the expression, the knee in the curve. It's volume on volume. It's developers on top of developers. It's more and more units. It's more value in the network itself. And it's not just about Java. It's all about a radical, explosive change that today's announcement will yield for the entire technology community. And so I'm going to spend the next couple of minutes giving you the details. I'll walk you through the exact announcement. I'll give you some background about what our thought process and what our relationship has been with members of the community and what this all will yield. We'll have a few video vignettes of some industry luminaries who I think you'll find most interesting. And before you move on, we'll have some surprise announcements. So unless you think it's all out of the bag, we have some extra bonus value for you at the end. So let's get moving here. Some years ago, we at Sun announced that we would be open sourcing all of Sun's technology, and we have largely delivered on those commitments. OpenSpark, for example, OpenSolaris, OpenOffice. NetBeans, announced in 2000 and with more than 8 million downloads. The fastest growing developer community in the industry at more than 7% month-to-month growth with 300,000 continuously connected users. Project Glassfish, announced in 2005. It's a fully enterprise-ready application server. It's been a fabulous program, and it's the number one activity on the Java.net site. OpenSolaris, near and dear certainly to my heart, although I love all of these equally. And you know, we announced it a year ago. Since then, there have been 6 million licensed downloads. There are more than 16,000 contributing members to the community. It has been an explosively successful program. OpenOffice.org, about 75 million users. It's been out there for some time. It has been, you know, the earth-shaking around the world, impacting office productivity suite, changing the nature of government and open source deployment of office productivity technology. And last but not least, OpenSpark. Open source is not limited just to software, but in fact, OpenSpark was the release of the Spark design and verification technology. It is being widely adopted and reviewed. It is now being taught as the basis of microprocessor design in major universities worldwide. So it is a program we have committed to, we have delivered on extensively, and today's announcement, I think, is an enormous knee in the curve in growth and offering in this regard. Some of you may remember this rather clumsy but reasonable quote. It's not a matter of if, but how. It was my third day here. I was slightly incoherent, but we had given some thought certainly to this for some time. I had the opportunity while outside of Sun to think hard about what we really needed to do in terms of our Java technology and our software technology in general. And so when Jonathan put me on the spot last May, it was a pretty straightforward answer. We know that for the sake of Java and for the sake of the industry, committing to this plan and delivering against this plan was absolutely the right thing to do. And we gave an update in August this year in San Francisco, and we updated the entire world on where we were on the plan, that we were committed to delivering the initial release of the technology before the end of the calendar year and completing it all by the end of the first quarter of next year. And so we're here to deliver on this statement. So here it is. Well, we're doing it today. We are open sourcing the implementations of Java ME, Java SE, and Java EE. And it's a world-changing announcement, so let me give you some of the details here. With this, it makes Sun the largest single entity and contributor of open source technology to the community. And it's not just those programs that I cited before, but in fact, other programs like GNOME and Apache and Perl and Derby are all programs that, although we are not leading, we're involved in. So it's not just Sun as a contributing our technology, but it's also Sun as a major force in the industry to ensure that you know, greatness happens, whether it's inside our walls or outside of our walls. Innovation actually doesn't happen elsewhere, Bill Joy's quote. It actually happens everywhere. I don't want to give short shrift to the folks at Sun who, you know, are viewed as outsiders, but in fact, this now creates this fully permeable membrane between members of Sun internal community and the world at large. And I'll talk to what we had to do to make that work in the next slide. So, lots of hard work here. We announced this in May, and here we are today. I can't convey to you the intensity and focus of the teams inside and actually outside Sun, who have been involved in getting this to work. Think about this. We have 10 years of work with the community that all have to be brought together to agree on the go-forward plan. We solicited input from many members of the open source community, many members of the commercial and analyst community. We had to do a lot of innovation work so that we are now moving the development model from one that occurs inside of our wall to a fully permeable one, that the work that occurs inside and outside of Sun will be fully transparent to everybody. And so the work required to bring us to this point is far more than just the code. Obviously, culling through the entire code base, ensuring it's ready in terms of from a legal and readability and value perspective, was a massive job. J2SE alone, or Java SE, pardon, I'm still learning. Java SE alone is more than 6 million lines of source code. Just to give you some calibration points, 6 million lines is about the same as the Unix core code base. And so just being able to cull through that in 5 months and make sure all of the terms and conditions, all the content was clean, all approved by others, this was a bit of work here. The license. Much speculation in the last couple of weeks about the license. Much noise in the industry about the license in the last couple of days. And let's reflect on this a little bit. Why did we do this? Why did we proceed with the license that we chose? You know, the optimization points for the release of Java in open source form were around a couple of points. We wanted to maximize adoption and distribution, and so having a license that would drive the ready distribution and sort of impedance match with other programs throughout the world was very important. We wanted to drive compatibility as well, and so choosing a license rather that is compatible with doing everything visibly in the marketplace, ensuring that all of the work of others can be shared uniformly, that there is no going off and running and hiding with the technology, is important to ensure that as it's all visible, it is most likely to be compatible. Right? And then finally, developers. Developers are very focused on certain license qualities, and rather than differentiate, there are times to differentiate, and there are times to go with the norm and the well-understood. And we wanted to adopt a license that has the qualities I just cited, and at the same time, ensure adoption by people, addressing people's comfort level, the mental level of, I'm familiar with this, I know the qualities and properties of a license like this, and so we chose. And in fact, there have been some polls on the web, on ZDNet and others, and in fact, there seems to be general consensus that this was the right thing to do. More than 70% of folks in this poll in particular, felt that the choice of license was the right way to go. So without any further ado, let's just bring this slide up here and tell you that this is the final answer. We have chosen the GPL v2 license. It is the most current version of GPL v2. We're very active with the open source community in the definition of v3, and we'll continue to look at the evolution of the license going forward. But for now, this is what is out there. This is the license that is compatible with Linux. It is the one that's most familiar. And it has doubtlessly the property of enabling the distribution of Java technology as widely as possible because it's compatible with the world's largest transport system, that is Linux, of open source technology. So I've told you what it's going to be. I want to spend a little bit of time bring to you a little vignette about an individual in the industry who needs no great background, but I will just spend a minute on it. So there's an individual in the industry who is first and foremost the name associated with open source. He has been the strongest advocate for many years in driving the understanding of the value of the open source program. And in the past, in the context of the licensing and distribution plan for Java, he has had some issues, and I published a paper called The Java Trap. And, we've taken a long, hard look at that and respect the perspective there. But with today's announcement, I think you'll see a bit of a change. So without any further ado, I'd like to present to you Richard Stallman on video.
The GNU General Public License is the most popular and most widely used free software license. The special thing about this license is that it's a copyleft license. That is to say, all versions of the program must carry the same license. So the freedoms that the GNU GPL gives to the users must reach all the users of the program. And that's the purpose for which I wrote it. It'll be very good that the Java Trap won't exist anymore. It'll be a thing of the past. That kind of problem can still exist in other areas, but it won't exist for Java anymore. I think Sun has, well, with this contribution, have contributed more than any other company to the free software community in the form of software. And it shows leadership, It's an example I hope others will follow.
So, where's the place to be? At java.net. That is the home of the community for all of the source code that we are publishing today. It will be the center for where all communities are formed and where all activities proceed. And so, as soon as we're done here, I want to turn you over to cull through the new site, java.net, and the new information that's there. But before I do, I have one formal ceremony that I need to perform, because there, in fact, is the requirement to release the open source, and we're nothing without a little bit of formalism and formality here at Sun. So with the help of James and Peter and Duke himself, Duke itself, we're not sure, actually. right, it's just, never mind. So let's get started here. So let's go. So we're in the midst of open sourcing the code right now, appearing on java.net at a site near you. It's actually all there, and you'll see when we get to the very end here. And when we get to the very end here, read the copyright. We are done. It is done. Thank you. And thanks for the quick visual there. Thank you, Duke. More for you a bit later. So let's get into a few of the details. Java SE, which is the technology you all know and know well, will be released. The technology, the implementation, will be released under the community name, the OpenJDK Community. It's the V2 license, right? It is available now. Hotspot, the core technology engine itself, Java C, the compiler, the bytecode generator, and the Java Help technology. And by the end of the first quarter, we'll have fully buildable JDK technology. There are pieces that are rolling out over the next couple of months, but we're moving very quickly. Again, all available in the community at java.net. And I just want to make one nuance available here, which is for those who have speculated, to ensure that this stuff is as widely usable and widely distributed as possible, part of the license with Java SE in particular will be inclusive of the ClassPath exception. And so that will ensure that there is complete availability, the freedom for developers to use the Java SE platform and distribute applications with the platform or separately from the platform without any concern about the quality of the license itself. So let's move on. Java ME, the technology that you know on, I think, 4 billion mobile devices in the world, fairly popular bit of technology, as Jonathan said. Most of the world, certainly outside of the United States, realizes the virtue of the Internet through something other than a PC, typically a mobile device. And Java ME is the principal technology on the planet, as far as we know, this planet alone, to go do that. I think it was parts actually made their way to Mars on the Mars rover, so I guess limiting to the planet is a little narrow-minded. I apologize for that. But anyway, we're releasing Java ME to a new community called the Mobile and Embedded Community. I know that the team worked closely with the ME community to get their input about the community name. This is the name we were asked to use, and so we're going to proceed with this name. It's long, but I think we can all keep it in our heads. Available right now are the all the code necessary to generate the feature phone for the Java ME implementation and the TCK framework as well. This is the CLDC technology. And so, we had one problem with this slide and one problem with the team. And, you know, sometimes you have to fess up. In the open source world, it's a little hard to predict exactly what's going on. And so the team has been working actually quite feverishly, so we had a lot of rework of press releases and presentations to do yesterday. So we made a bit of a mistake, which is, in fact, what we thought was coming soon. is available today. And, you know, it's really important. First of all, I want to thank the team, you know, working really, really hard, you know, day and night. For the last couple of weeks to overcommit and overdeliver, or rather undercommit and overdeliver on all this stuff. But, you know, the CDC technology is the technology that drives things like Blu-ray and other embedded devices, and it's critically important to get this into the hands of others. And we certainly plan to do so over the next couple of months, but, well, why not overachieve? So thanks again to the team. And then finally, yes, thanks again to the team. and you know who you are. So let's move on. GlassFish. We open source GlassFish under the CDDL license last year. A fabulously successful program. It's the number one community activity on Java.net. And so we're here to talk about the extension of the GlassFish project now to be dual open source license, not just CDDL, but GPL, to show consistency and to have that impedance match with other projects across the industry, so it's available to be deployed and licensed anyway, either of these two methods, rather. So there'll be the instantaneous addition of this license. There'll also be a V2 update in the spring of 2007 of the GlassFish project. You know, it's an incredibly powerful offering. It's a full commercial scale, open source, readily available application server platform with SDK available now. It's been a fabulous program, and I think adding the GPL dual license capability to the platform will only, again, knee in the curve, add a boost to the value and deployment and application richness of the platform. This really isn't only about a code, and in fact, it's hardly about code. A code by itself, charming. You got to read a bunch of it yourself, for those of you who are paying close attention. But in fact, this is really all about developers, right? And so in that regard, we are turning up the energy and linkage between NetBeans and the NetBeans community to this open source announcement. We recently announced NetBeans 5.5. It was fabulously critically acclaimed, all positive. As I mentioned earlier, the growth and success of NetBeans, all available through the Sun Developer Network, all accessible through netbeans.org, has been nothing short of fabulous. It's by far the fastest growing developer platform and developer community in the industry. But we've done a lot of work to establish linkage between the tools themselves and the accessibility of the code. The goal is to be able to generate projects instantly and in an automated fashion between the open source code itself and the NetBeans framework, whether it's the NetBeans mobility pack or Java for the desktop or server. You should take a close look at NetBeans. You'll find that there's additional value as of today and going forward with regard to the open source announcement. So change is funny. People feel a little uncomfortable with it. So for those who may be fearful that this is a change, in fact, this is an ad, right? For all of the our commercial partners out there who have licensed technology from Sun, this really is a dual licensing model. It's something that is published widely in the blogs across the planet in the last week or two. Obviously, this is something we're going to continue to do. And as Jonathan noted, this is a rising tide value for those commercial licensees and for those who would consider it. The broad distribution under GPL, the broad adoption by more and more developers in the industry will only add more value to those commercial licenses. And so nothing changes and everything is added. And so for those who are a part of the program, we thank you. And we're hoping to continue our business relationship with you. And I'm sure in this context, it'll be of added value and more partners will come to Sun for relationships as well. And more things that don't change, right? So this is a good thing. The Java community process, more than 1,000 members, more than 300 JSRs over the last couple of years, has been an incredibly powerful force to focus the priorities and focus the values on the Java platforms. And the JCP will continue. There's no reason why an announcement like this should do anything but add interest and value to the work being done by this important group of people. And in fact, just last week, there was a vote and approval of an important JSR, which is JSR 270. Every time I use JSR numbers, I feel like it's jokes by numbers. But JSR 270 is the overarching or umbrella JSR for the next release of Java SE. And the organization unanimously, thank you, approved it. And so we now plan to release Sun's version of Java SE next month, and so stay tuned for another big announcement coming then. But I want to give you some sense of how the process works, which is, it's a fully transparent voting method. You get to see the votes and comments of all the participants, and you should really go to jcp.org and go take a look at their comments and go take a look at the methodology they use for contribution. This is really an opportunity to take another look at an important organization that drives value in the Java platform. And so in that regard, when there's feedback and voting, many of the voters comment on the value and capabilities of the technology. So let me highlight one in this voting area. Let me see if I could read this to you. This is a comment from IBM that I want to read that I think really underscores what we're doing here today. We support open source as a licensing model for contributing in the JCP and would hope others would support this direction. Well, I guess today we do. So IBM gets their wish in the context of the JSR 270 vote. So let's move on just a little bit more. Let's just move on quickly. So you've heard me comment on compatibility. I think you've heard Jonathan comment on compatibility. We have gone to the mat in public forums about compatibility. It is the core value proposition for Java. You know, a multi-platform, internet-wide, server to smart card implementation is all about the internet distribution and execution of value of applications, of content. And so being confident that you write it once and it runs everywhere is never more important than today when distribution is likely to go, you know, go through the roof. And so I want to underscore that we took actions with the community. We chose the values of the license to ensure this. And in that regard, I'd like to show you, you know, the comments of a number of industry experts and industry luminaries who I think all focus on the value of today's announcement and the value of compatibility. So with that, to the video.
The choice of GPL, I think, is going to really rock some people back. It's a bold move, and it's one that's going to have a lot of far-reaching consequences. For starters, it will mean that Java will get incorporated into Linux distributions like Ubuntu, which are, you know, very much focused around the GPL and the like, and that will harness, I think, a large group beyond the core Java community. It also means that there are, as I said, these communities that feel very strongly about completely free and open licenses are going to take another look at Java,
particularly in Brazil and Latin America. We have a very active Java community that have been established in the past 10 years. Brazil is the fifth worldwide populated country. So it's an incredible, huge market. Part of the questions is how to give access of this low-income population to the high-end and to the benefits of technology. So open source, open standards, and open data representation are strategies to disseminate broadly these technologies, avoiding monopolies and closed markets.
Sun moving Java SE to the open source community is a big day in the industry right now, in the open source industry. Linux has moved very, very rapidly from a server perspective. But from a desktop perspective, there hasn't been a complete solution. This is really the missing piece of the puzzle to move the desktop much more rapidly and really give partners and customers and developers the beginning of a great alternative to a .NET framework. I see the open source Java announcement as a great opportunity for Red Hat and Sun to work together on common open source solutions that can benefit both our businesses, our common customers, and our common developers as well. So I think this is a great opportunity to start to bring that together.
As Java became one of the most important languages for the expression of ideas about technology of programming in the last decade, the question of Java's freedom, whether it could be used freely and made part of free software projects, has been a crucial question. Sun's policy of GPLing Java, which we are celebrating now, is an extraordinary achievement in returning programming technology to that state of freely available knowledge. Sun has now GPLed hardware designs, son is GPLing Java. That's an extraordinary vote of confidence in this way of sharing information. And we in the free software world are very pleased and very flattered to see Sun taking its own very valuable and very important products and agreeing with us that they will be more advantageous to Sun as well as to the rest of the community if they are shared under these rules.
Very little else to add after comments and endorsements like that. I just think this is really one of those days where everything comes together for all the right reasons. It's really quite fabulous. So I want to take a moment to offer my thanks. You know, there are people who have been involved in Java in the community across the industry for many years, but no more so than the teams in engineering and in marketing and in all aspects of the company that have driven Java for the last 10 plus years, starting with James Gosling, the inventor of the technology. I really want to offer my thanks to everybody here. This has been a very remarkable 10-year run. Again, I think this is going to be the next knee in the curve of the whole program. You have done absolutely incredible work. When we said what we did in May, I think there were a lot of eyebrows raised, not only outside the company, but inside. But people, you know, got in line and just put their heads down and did just fabulous work, as evidenced by that overnight, overcommit comment. I also want to thank one other individual besides James. James, you all know and love and has been responsible for, you know, the core of what we're talking about today. But I also want to talk about Graham, or as I said in litigation, Dr. Graham Hamilton. He has been a driving force in the program for 10 plus years. He is omnipresent, has been everywhere at the program. He has both been charming and intense, really an unusual and incredibly valuable member of the Java community and inside and outside Sun. And I really want to pass along my thanks to Graham for all of his help as well. So with that, one more surprise announcement. You thought you knew all the things we were going to say today, but there actually is one more thing to do. Every major open source program needs a mascot. And you probably know of some mascot that's been affiliated with Java for some time. But like any major open source program, the mascot should be made available to all broadly as well. So I want to announce one more thing, which is the open sourcing of Duke. Right? Right. And this is a no-kidding announcement. Actually, Duke will be modifiable and available under the BSD license, fully available for those to use. Really go forward and use Duke as part of the program. We really compel you to make him, or it, Duke, part of the whole, you know, community activity. So actually, if you go to duke.dev.java.net and click there, you'll find an opportunity to buy a Duke-powered T-shirt. And so let's just have Duke go for a ride here for a second. Where is Duke? Yes, thank you. Yes. All right. Okay. So by the way, you know, James is home recovering. He's doing just fine. But James is the one who does all of this, right? So while inventing Java, while traveling all the world, being a developer advocate, he's also creating Duke, Duke animations, Duke wireframes, Duke everything, Duke T-shirts. So we wish him all well. So with that, the last image, of course, is Duke and the Time Gate. I guess we're not going to have that one. Yeah, Duke is back. So Duke is here to, you know, pass through the time machine, and it is now, the future is the present, and it is now all open. And so with that, I really want to thank you for your time. Go to these websites, go check it out, go start hacking into the code. It's all there for you now. So with that, thank you very much, and I think that's all we have for today. I want to, although, open it up now that we're complete to Q&A for members of Sun or the community. So if you'd like, we have a microphone set up, and so it's over to you. Any questions? Certainly, there must be questions. Jonathan, do you have a question?
I was going to come join you.
Oh, please.
And failing anybody else asking a question, I was going to ask a few of my own.
You
so
are.
There's microphones available, and by all means, you're just all stunned.
Well, maybe you should just get them started.
believe me, Richard and Evan were also stunned when we called them.
Questions from anyone?
We could have an awkward silence for a while.
When should we begin?
Now?
So I think, you know, hopefully at this point everybody is comfortable with both the business motivations as well as the technology motivations that we see. And there's been a lot of discussion about, well, geez, if you open source technology, does this mean revenue goes down? So, Rich, what's your view on that?
Well, as you saw from the opening comments, it's pretty straightforward. And I think this is patently obvious that volume equals value. You know, it's the fundamental tenet of the software business, which is unit volume, adds value to everyone involved. And certainly Sun at the core of Java is doubtlessly going to realize incremental economic value, as well as all of the partners, all of the members. As the tide rises, as you cited, the business opportunities created by the advancement of developers, new content, more volume, more interest, more innovation, are always positive precursors to economic improvement. And so this is only good news. I don't think this is at all a trade.
Speaking of trades, there was an announcement made it was about a week ago by two companies that suggested free software can't be free. That you really have to pay a royalty to somebody. It's not necessarily safe. What's your view on that?
Well, I heard a little bit about that. I was just took a moment out from all this Java stuff, and I was reading the press, and there were a couple of interesting announcements out there, and it was actually quite worrisome, but you have to zoom out and see the scope of the implications of how the world works. Sun is unique in the industry in that we've been able to build an economic and open source model that really threads the needle, that really provides value for both the open source community and for our shareholders as well. And I think the fundamental or the root tenet that allows this to work is Sun is the creator of IP, right? We are not the redistributor of IP. We have a business model that is fundamentally based on the invention and value of the participants inside Sun and now incrementally outside Sun. And so we have to separate that general statement from the specific, which is the IP is clean and safe and owned by Sun, now donated to the community. And there's no risk, there's no issue of having to pay others for the right to distribute that which we've created ourselves. And so this leaves Sun alone in the industry as a leader in this regard, in the open source community, and in safety with regard to the open source technology that we've delivered to the market.
And so anybody that says free software requires a royalty is lying.
Lying is a word I would use, yes.
Good.
Lying.
Excellent.
Right.
And just to amplify that, I think there's been a lot of discussion in the marketplace that you have to choose the community or you have to choose your shareholders. Mm-hmm. And we obviously don't believe in that in the least. I think you can have your cake and eat it too, and I think the things you can do that are good for shareholders, more often than not, if you're faithfully applying the ultimate business objective, is also good for the community. It creates more opportunity for everyone.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And any other questions before I ask a really interesting one?
This is where I go. Right?
That's right. Change is afoot. I guess
we have a question.
We're Anne. Shocked.
Right. Anne, you saved me. Thank you. Thank you, Anne.
So there's been lots of questions as a member of one of the groups that's open sourcing stuff around things like, what's the boundaries? Are there any boundaries? Are we going to open source things like TCKs and other interesting bits like that? So the question I actually have is, what are the set of challenges? What are the set of challenges that you see that we are facing in the software engineering organization as we move forward in open sourcing all of our technology?
Well, let me start here. I think the real challenge for Sun as a culture, although we're well along the way in this regard, it is still steps to be taken in the evolution, is all about transparency. You know, what I talked about earlier about the challenge and the hard work that has been put in so far in going forward with the open source program, I think one of the big challenges is how do we operate in full transparent view? How do we bring ourselves to acknowledge that, in fact, that's a virtue, right? And so whether it's managing our source code and updating all that in full public view as best we can in all of our programs, or making as many individuals available of our intent and soliciting feedback from the community. It's also the notion of, you know, ensuring that the work done outside of Sun is integrated and adopted and supported, that it's not just about us, right, but it's about everyone. And I think this is a cultural change that Sun is going through. We're far ahead virtually every company out there who has the ability to create you know, industry-changing amounts of IP, but this is just the process we're going to have to go through.
And this is not a small change for a corporation like Sun. We're $13 billion in revenue, 35,000 employees. You know, we spend billions of dollars a year on R&D, and I think it has been a bit of a cultural change inside of our organization to say the membrane has to be porous between what we build here and what we offer to the community. I think Evan Moglen did a wonderful job of talking about, you know, taking what we build, contributing it to the community so that what we build can be improved. And it is a feedback cycle. If we continue to do that, our business also gets better. That's a tough thing for a for-profit corporation, you know, at the scale of Sun to really do. We're the only company in the industry that's really, you know, done more than simply embrace open source as a vehicle for press releases, but instead really embrace the community as a vehicle to create new products and create new opportunities.
Yeah. Bill.
Hi.
Hi.
Given that the PlayStation 3 is a Java ME-based device and it's released this Friday in the U.S., I wanted...
If you can get one.
Can you get me?
Well, so...
I would like one.
But, you know. So I wanted to ask whether there was any truth to the rumor that all the members of the Java team are going to receive a PlayStation 3.
We'll snap up as many as we could get, Bill. But actually, you know, as part of the team who... made that so and got Blu-ray so widely deployed, including the PS3, which is an amazing piece of work. Actually, thanks to you and the team.
Thank you.
We will do our best if we can find them in stores.
Right. And now for something completely different.
So I rashly asked out on IRC if anyone had any questions. And David Berlin notes that IBM has already asked why we didn't just donate everything to Apache and expressed displeasure over the choice of the GPL license. And we wondered if you had any...
IBM voiced displeasure over the selection of GPL?
They asked, why didn't we just donate the code to Harmony? So I wondered if you had any response to that question. And I have more questions after you've done that one, because they're flowing.
Oh, no, please. No, please.
No, please. I think, you know, we're obviously... We consulted with a great many in the community, and among them, by the way, really the fathers of open source, the Free Software Foundation itself. In addition, we worked very closely with Red Hat and other leaders in the open source community. And I think, you know, IBM is free to take their implementations and the technologies they've created and go pursue whatever, you know, avenue they think is most appropriate. This is what we and the community thought was the right answer. I find it a little curious, I guess, that IBM would oppose the GPL. It seems like an odd stance for them to take after theoretically for so long being a supporter of the GPL. I sure wouldn't want to see them turning their back on the open source community.
Without piling on to Jonathan's comments, I will just note, and I think everybody appreciates this, but I want to highlight it as well, that throughout the analysis process, beginning in May and all throughout, you know, we did a lot of work, both with the community internally and analyzing the optimization points for the licensing choice, right? And I think I cited earlier that developers, distribution, and compatibility were the three driving factors in making this decision. But for a program that has been ongoing and incredibly impactful for 10 years, for the number of interested parties, commercial and community that have been involved, to be fair, there is no perfect choice. And I think what we did is we're very thoughtful and consultative with the entire industry, and we chose what I thought, what we all think, in fact, is best for Java and best for the community, and that's why we did what we did.
I really think this is, and when you read my blog later on today, you'll see me amplify this point, this is a rising tide. And it would not surprise me in the least to see a growing number of proprietary software companies
expressed his pleasure with the growing open source movement. I understand it puts a threat and puts a bit of a challenge to conventional business models, but it's a rising tide. What we want to do is we want to see more people come online, the barriers of entry be as low as humanly possible. Those that are trying to defend those barriers, they have other challenges, and it's not just Sun, by the way. I think what they're doing is they're ultimately, you know, they're fighting freedom, and I wouldn't want to be on the wrong side of that battle.
So, I also have comments here from the GNOME community who send you a warm thanks. And the ClassPath community would also like to thank you very much. They say that they're speechless and they don't have any questions.
So I think to the GCJ and the ClassPath community and the CAFE community, now's the time for us to really get together and try to figure out how do we do the right balancing equation, because we don't want to do any redundant work with you and we don't want you doing any redundant work with us, and we're more than happy to put all of our efforts together to go really promote ultimately what I think we all share, which is an objective, you know, to drive freedom and drive opportunity for developers.
And I'll leave the rest of the questions for the IRC chat that we've invited all these people to. So if you're all listening, guys, we'll see you on IRC in an hour or so. Right.
Excellent.
Thank you, Simon.
So maybe in one, and thank you very much for the questions. One final question. You know, to what Rich said, there is no one hammer for all nails in the marketplace. And we all have to make choices, and those choices are often very difficult choices and inevitably result in trade-offs. And that's just the nature of a complex marketplace. And maybe I'll leave you to ask your one question before I ask mine. Yeah.
Thank you very much. I just want to add a comment on what you said about adding versus changing. I think it's a gut. Thank you very much for doing that. I call it a gut. You said you will do it and you did it, and really this is a good contribution. I am an advocate for digital divide, and I wanted to ask you a very nice question. First of all, thank you very much. The comment from the professor saying that is an opportunity for underdeveloped country. I will say it's more than an opportunity. It's really a good, how do you call it, condition for underdeveloped country to participate. But first of all, before participating, I'd like you to tell us what's your vision about digital divide here. Sun has an opportunity to be a leader on this one. You said you'll open Solaris, you open it. You said you'll open Java, you opened it. I have seen cases where Microsoft suing small company because they're hacking, how do you call it, their OS. Now you are telling people do not hack, but use it. So can you please say something about digital divide and what is the positioning of Sun and digital divide? Thank you very much.
Our position is not to spend our time litigating against developers or trying to kill competitors. Both of those, in my mind, are waste of energy. I was down in Brazil recently, and I was with the president of Brazil, and I was trying to describe to him why we were so interested in promoting open source and open technologies, trying to give the skills to Brazilians to create the next Google, so the next Google could be a Brazilian company and not you know, an American company. And we're trying to do that across the world. There's a member of my staff who's fully and wholly dedicated, along with Simon, to reaching out to governments across the world. Technology has become a social utility. It's incumbent upon all of us at Sun and all of us in the developer community to make sure we convey the value of that utility globally to everyone who's got access to a device that they can use to attach to the internet. So as I was talking to the president of Brazil, he asked me, why on earth are you interested in giving technology away to Brazilians? What are you thinking? I mean, I understand why I want to see it happen, because I want to bring all these folks out of the jungles and I want to give them access to education and healthcare and business opportunities. But why on earth do you want to take all this valuable technology and give it away to my citizens? And I described what our objectives were and how our business worked, and he said, oh, I understand now. You are a company that builds radio towers and you want to give all of my citizens radios. And I said, yes, that's exactly it. We're a free media company. We want to give everybody in Brazil a free radio so that they too can listen to and participate in a market that's obviously growing around the world. That is absolutely the mission that we're on. And by the way, it is great for society, it is great for progress, and it is great for business. We just got to keep driving. So the last question before anybody else pops up and asks one. So we now have a fair degree of consistency across Sun, which is first and foremost, we will open source all the technology we build. And I think we've really begun to open the curtains here, and we've said all the software technologies. There's certainly an interesting question that Mr. Fowler and Mr. Yen are going to have to answer about what do we do about hardware designs. Stay tuned on that. But there's potentially an even more interesting one, which is we chose a license that was, at the time, the right license for Solaris. It was called the CDDL, the Common Development and Distribution License. Are you averse to changing the license?
Averse? Well, certainly not. And in fact, I think today's event and the feedback that we've received to date really casts a very, very positive light on our choices going forward. You know, we have been engaged in open source of our key technologies for some time. And, you know, there's the act of momentum and learning and fostering new markets. And, you know, despite some criticism in the past, I think we have chosen very wisely the paths that we have taken to date.
Will you GPL Solaris, Mr. Green? Is it your testimony that you will GPL Solaris? Sorry, you know, you get on stage with me, you never know what's going to happen. So.
And I think that means not you, we'll take a very close look at it. Like I said earlier, I think the feedback has been positive and the growth of Solaris has been incredibly impressive, and the familiarity and comfort level with the license that we've chosen for Java doubtlessly is going to drive a lot of decision-making going forward with the existing technologies that we've open-sourced, and that is the extent of my answer.
So, and maybe to echo a little bit of what Rich was saying, so Rich has now been back at Sun for five whole months. 5 months.
Yes.
And for those of you that don't know Rich, he's actually a former Navy pilot, and by the way, we brought him back because of that, because he's so accustomed to extreme G-forces. And, you know, I think I want to extend the congratulations from our shareholders as well as from everybody who's been a part of the team making the changes you've been making. The change has been dramatic. I haven't seen any evidence of motion sickness at all, and no altitude sickness either. I want to really give you a round of applause for the changes you've driven and the progress we're making. So, well
Thank
done.
You. Thank you.
Good luck.
Well, thank you. And with that, I think we're concluding our session for the Sun folks. I think we're having a bit of a celebration in Building 5. Yes? And so all head off there. I think we have some press Q&A for some of us right after this meeting. And so I thank you again. A great day. Thank you.
The heart is a blue.